on KBUR News Radio, 99.3 FM and 1490 AM from First Christian Church of Burlington, Iowa. We hope that this week's message helps you grow in your faith and share God's love.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in the 5 and 10. Listening once again, with candy canes and silver lanes aglow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store, but the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that shoots is the wish of Bonnie and Ben. Dolls that will talk to you for a walk is the hope. And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everywhere you go, there's a tree in the Grand Hotel, one in the park as well, the sturdy kind that doesn't mind the snow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start. The carol that you sing right within your heart. A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that shoots is a wish of Bonnie and Ben. Dolls that will walk and go for a walk is the hope of Janice and Ben. And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start. And the thing that will make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart, right within.
Good morning. We welcome you to First Christian Church. We're so glad that you found us online for worship here this morning. Though we're worshiping on Facebook Live and through our church website from Texas and Missouri and Illinois and Kansas and right here in Burlington, Iowa, though we're in different places in our homes today, we are worshiping together as a virtual family of faith. And so it is great to have you all online this morning. In this season of Advent, we pray that the gifts of peace and hope and joy and love will be upon us to bless us and fill us and strengthen us in our journey of faith here this morning in the midst of worship. As we have gathered for worship today, a little note about our service. Every Sunday morning that we have worshiped together inside of our sanctuary, we have communion together. And so while you are at home today, we encourage you to get the items that you will need for communion later on in our worship service. Anything that you have there at home is great. If it's bread and juice and grapes and crackers, anything is just fine, as we know that Christ can and will bless them for the use of our spiritual lives and the furthering of our Christian journey together. Even though we are worshiping only online in our drive-in parking lot service, that doesn't mean that the work of our church has stopped. We know that Bible studies and small groups and Sunday school classes are still happening. Many of them have moved online, but some of them are still meeting in person. And so we encourage you to find a group or a class to grow in your own faith. You can find out more information about our classes and groups on our website and also on our church Facebook page. We are continuing today and throughout this coming week our open congregational meeting to vote on our 2021 church budget and slate of officers. A list of our budget and also of our officers appeared in our church newsletter a couple weeks ago. If you'd like a paper copy, just reach out to us. We'd be happy to pass it along to you. You can continue to pass on your vote by contacting us here at the church office until December the 20th. As we continue to have this congregational meeting without having an actual congregation gather together. But we look forward to what the Spirit leads us in 2021. Even though we're not having public worship together here, we are having open sanctuary for the next two Tuesdays. Our sanctuary is open from noon to 7 p.m. for prayer and for communion. We welcome folks to come and to say hello or just to kind of sit here in the silence of our sanctuary. It was great to have some of you all stop by this past week, and so we hope that you will stop by again this coming Tuesday between noon and 7 o'clock. along with us. We hope that you will make plans to be with us for Christmas Eve worship. We're going to be having two drive-in Christmas Eve services in our parking lot, one at 5 p.m. and one at 7. We're also going to be broadcasting two online Christmas Eve services, one at 7 p.m. and then one at 9 p.m. And so whether you worship in our parking lot or online from home or from wherever you may be, we look forward to celebrating the birth of Christ together. And so here on this third Sunday in the season of Advent, Tom Manning is our elder for today, and he's going to lead us in our Advent wreath call to worship. Let us join together.
We gather together in this most holy season of Advent, thankful for the anticipation that grows in our hearts each week. We prepare our homes with decorations, we prepare gifts to give, and we prepare ourselves for God's ultimate gift.
Come as people of joy.
Life in the world is difficult and often filled with pain. We trudge through the days trying to make it through another. But the Christ child brought a new kind of joy into the world. And we embrace him and welcome his joy into our hearts and lives.
We are people of joy.
Today we light the third candle, the candle of joy. While we may not always feel joyful, we remember and celebrate the joy present in our Savior. And we pray that Christ's joy would be at our very core.
May the joy of Christ fill us and stay with us. We ready our spirits to receive the gifts of Christ. And we pray that we would radiate his joy to the world. We are a people of joy.
As we gather in to pray and to worship today, we bring before God our concerns, our needs. We also specifically pray for the family of Isla Budniak. She's a longtime church member who has lived away for some time, but is a church member. And so we give thanks for her life as she passed away this past week, and we lift up her family in our prayers. Let us pray. God of hope and peace, sometimes we gather and we just don't have the words. Sometimes we come in prayer and we aren't sure what to say. We know that the words of our heart are more than enough, and that you know us well enough to know our prayers before we utter them. You know them before we know them. On days when we don't have the words, still we come to you. On days when we feel at a loss, still we come to you. When we look all around us and consider the world and the people and the heartbreak, still we come. Still we come. We come to be still in your presence, even in the midst of a chaotic world. We can barely take in the hardship that we see, we hear, we may even experience ourselves. And so we come to you still, because in the middle of the nonsensical swirl of reality, you are our grounding. You are our solid foundation in the midst of the whirlwind. In this season of hope and peace, you are our one source of hope. The world is largely not a hopeful place today, but your world is. Our world in you is a world of hope. Our world in you is a life of hope in the future. Our world in you is hope in humankind. We give thanks this day that when it seems all hope is lost, we are reminded of the irreplaceable hope we find in you, our God. We give thanks today for the many blessings that many of us enjoy: comfortable homes, plenty to eat, loving family surrounding us. And as we give thanks, we continue to lift up those who do not enjoy these same gifts. We pray for those who are without stable shelter, those who are not assured of warmth on this cold day. We pray for those who do not have reliable nourishment and for those who rely on the generosity of others to receive their meals. We pray for those who may not have family or are separated from family. We pray your will would be done for all in need. And we pray that you would stir in us the desire, the resources, and the will to assist and serve those in need. As the pandemic continues to spread and take so many lives, we pray for all who are ill at this time. We pray for the new opportunities for vaccines, and we pray for the hope that we will see life and closeness return in the future. Heal us of the anxieties and fears that have been filling us for so long now. Nurture in us trust of others that may have lessened over this past year. Heal us in all the ways that this pandemic has changed us. We give you thanks, God of joy, that while we cannot give thanks for all circumstances, we can most certainly give thanks in all circumstances. We give you thanks collectively today, no matter the circumstances in which we find ourselves. Even in the midst of challenge or strife, we are richly blessed by your love and care and the gift of your Son that we commemorate this month. We give you thanks for the hope and peace and joy that came into the world with Jesus. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus the Christ, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel. Praying together the prayer that he taught, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today, as we open God's Word, we turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, beginning with verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
When our kids were younger, we used to play a whole lot of the game we used to call doctor's office. When we played this, we had this pretend blood pressure cuff and stethoscope. We had this little plastic band-aid that would fit on about one or only sometimes two fingers. We had this little plastic needle for giving shots. We even had this little pretend light blue doctor's office coat. We loved playing this game, doctor's office. And we even had a name for this game, Doctor's Office. We called playing it Dr. Ben's. When Sammy was a little guy, at one point when he was about two or three, he had fallen and he had hit his head. wasn't anything too serious, but he needed to go to the ER to get his wound looked at. He didn't need stitches. He just needs some of that fancy, you know, technical ER kind of glue they give. But there at the ER, the doctor that came in back in the day, so long ago, when Sam was about 2 or 3, was a kind man by the name of Dr. Benz. And although we never saw Dr. Benz ever again in our life, whenever we played doctor's office, we always simply called it Dr. Benz. We would play Dr. Benz nearly every afternoon when I got home from work. It was a great game to play as a parent because from our end, it mostly consisted on lying on the couch covered up by a blanket with a ball game on TV and having this little 2 or 3 year old doctor in this light blue lab coat coming up and asking us what was wrong. Sometimes the shots that this little doctor would give would hurt much more than the pretend injury as he would stab us with his plastic needle into our arm over and over. Usually there was a whole lot of rolling around, writhing in pretend pain, saying, "My toe hurts, my head and my neck and my back." But it was great fun. And amazingly enough, this little 2-year-old doctor in this pretend light blue lab coat always had just the right prescription and the right remedy to fix whatever was wrong with us. Whenever we got done playing this game, we were always well and feeling much better and no time flat. Well, if life for us these days and this year has gotten to be just a bit too much, if there are things that are ailing us that we need the great physician, Jesus Christ, to come and treat us and heal us and make us whole again, then today we are in luck. We are in luck because we heard this word from 1 Thessalonians, and it's almost like we are hearing today from Dr. Paul. Not Professor Paul or the Apostle Teacher Paul, but it's almost like we are hearing from this medical doctor sent by the great physician Jesus speaking through the Thessalonians. Because here today, Paul is teaching us about the things in our spiritual life that are ailing that Jesus himself can fix. You know, the beauty of the Bible is that it's not all one genre. It's not all one type or kind of writing. What we have in the Bible is literally like an anthology. It's lots of different things all stuck together around a cover. Sometimes parts of the Bible that we read come from a long story or like a long narrative, kind of like what we would read to our kids at night before bed. Instead of "once upon a time," the Bible says, "There once was this man who had 2 sons. It says the women went to the tomb early on the first day of the week, just as the sun was coming up. Sometimes parts of the Bible that we read are parables. Parables, we know, are these stories that flip what we know on top of its head, like the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Sometimes we get poetry in the Bible in the Psalms. Sometimes we get good words of advice from the Proverbs, like we're reading Dr. Abby in the newspaper. But here today what we get in this wonderful anthology of a Bible are Paul's concluding words to his friends. Here we get Paul's advice on how to live a life of faith. And so here today on this third Sunday in Advent, when we have lit the candle of joy, it's almost like Paul is giving us these words as a prescription, like they're from Dr. Benz or some other kind of medical professional. They are so good, and so we take in Paul's words like we take 2 aspirin and hope to feel better in the morning. Paul gives us this to lift us and encourage us, to bless us and to fill us on those days when we are beaten down and worn out by life. Paul gives us short and quick and easy words to remember and put into practice. Now, I don't mean to tell you what to do, but you may want to write these things down. Or maybe highlight them in your Bible, or click on them in your Bible app to save them for a later date. Because some of us, to be honest, have gotten a bit older throughout this pandemic, and we're not quite as sharp as we used to be back at the beginning in March. But this is good stuff from Paul that he's prescribing our spiritual lives in this little pill bottle of joy. We want to remember what he's saying. So the first thing is this. He says, rejoice always, and along with this, give thanks in all circumstances. What Dr. Paul is saying with this first little pill is that in every situation and in every moment, there are things to rejoice and give thanks for, even in the worst of times. This is the case because notice what he's saying. He's not saying give thanks for every situation. He says give thanks in every situation. My wife Liz and I did the Facebook Live Bible study on Wednesday morning this past week. And while we were talking about this passage, she mentioned something that we used to do as a family that sometimes we still do even now. For a number of years ago, when we had a whole lot going on in our lives, we had some health issues, or our house seemed like it was falling apart at the seams. Life was just a whole lot back in these days. And so we started a practice that we simply called Find the Happily. We made our own little hashtag, Find the Happy in our lives. And so this practice was that every single night before going to bed, no matter how stressful or busy or hard the day was, we had to go to bed and find the happiness in it. We couldn't go to bed without finding three things from that day that brought us joy, that we did to bring joy to somebody else's life. There were simply good things that happened from that day. Because not every day, not every moment is one that we want to rejoice in. Some days and some moments are just downright awful in our lives. But even in the worst of them, we can rejoice and give thanks to God. Maybe even it's just giving thanks for the simple fact that God gives us strength to make it through and finish some days. But we rejoice and give thanks anyway. The second pill that Dr. Paul gives us is about learning how to pray without ceasing. We're called to pray continually and always in our lives. One of my favorite writers is the old-time Roman Catholic monk named Thomas Merton. And talking about his prayer life, he said, "What I wear is pants, and what I do is live, and how I pray is breathe." What he's saying is that he tried to live his whole entire life as a prayer to God. Every breath, every moment, every conversation that he had was meant to glorify God. Sometimes in our lives, we know that we actually set time aside to pray. Maybe we pray before a meal, we pray in church, we pray in our car like we do a drive-in church. We set time aside that is important and essential for us. But other times we know that prayers just pop up as we go throughout our day. We pray in the shower. We pray at stoplights. We pray whenever we see a police officer pulling somebody over. We pray whenever we notice an ambulance at a house down the block from ours. Our prayer life, when it's at its best, shows up in tiny little bits and pieces, and it comes to us simply as we are breathing. We pray always, and we pray without ceasing. The third little pill in this bottle is the encouragement not to let the Spirit inside of us go out. Paul says, do not quench the Spirit. What this means is, just like we might have a bonfire while we are out camping, sometimes late in the day, that bonfire, the embers get down low, the fire starts to slow down, and the flame begins to die out. And so to get it going again, you have to put a new log, and you have to give it more oxygen. You have to fan those flames to get that fire going again. And so it is with our own spiritual lives. Sometimes it is like we are standing on the mountaintop with Jesus and Moses and Elijah, and we feel as close as we can be to God. It's almost like God is filling everything that we have. But sometimes the Spirit seems to be missing. Sometimes the fire gets low and the embers begin to die. And when this happens, we can simply wish that the Spirit would come back, or we can actually do something about it to make the Spirit come back. We can fan the flames in our own spiritual life. We can pay more attention and be more diligent to where God is moving among us and around us. We can do our best not to quench the Spirit and let the fire of God burn out from us. Paul gives us all of this. He gives us this pill bottle of joy in this season of Advent, all under the reminder and with the encouragement that God is still faithful. He tells us, Thessalonians, that God is faithful and that God will not give up on all of us. And this is good news, especially for those of us who could use it here and now, especially in these times when good news is hard to come by and life is difficult. The word is that God makes a way because God is faithful to us. The Spirit encourages us to find joy and to make joy a habit so that love can be our reflex following it. This is the good news because Spirit of God is a gift that is underlying and is always flowing and always there. We simply have to tap into it and be attuned to it. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Said the night wind to the little lamb, "Do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb. Do you see what I see? A star, a star, dancing in the night with a tail as big as a cloud. With a tail as big as a cloud." The little lamb to the shepherd boy, "Do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy. Do you hear what I hear? A song, a song, high above the trees with a voice as big as the sea, with a voice as big as the sea."
Thanks so much for joining us online for worship this morning. We hope that worship here has filled your spirit and renewed you for your own journey of faith. If during worship this morning you felt the presence of Christ alive in your life and you've never made before a confession of faith that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, we hope that you will reach out to us this morning, send us an email, or give us a call this week. We would love to pray with you and to help you in your own walk with Jesus Christ, to help you grow in your own relationship with our Lord and Savior. Along with this, we'd love it if you would welcome, be a part of our church family. If you'd like to make First Christian Church officially your church home, you can also reach out to us as well. Even during these pandemic days, we continue to do the work of Jesus Christ, and so we know that our tithes and offerings that we give help make that mission and vision possible. And so if you'd like to give your own tithes and offerings, you can do so by going to our church website. You can also mail your check into the church here at 1221 Park Avenue. We know that all of our gifts together help us share the good news of Jesus Christ through our church here and now. And so thanks be to God.